If you would take your Bible, go with me into the New Testament, the book of Acts, chapter 2, where we began with our reading this morning, Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 41. Our theme for this year's continue, and we want to continue in the Scriptures, continue in supplication, continue in soul winning, reaching the lost in our community, continue in service, and continue in stewardship. And we're going to look at each of those five topics and those five subjects. So we're asking God to speak to us as we reflect upon what God has done. We also want to look forward to what God will do. Amen. I'm glad that God is not a God who did His greatest work in the past. He's a God who's going to do great works in the future. And I believe God wants to do great works among His people today if we'll believe and trust Him and if we'll continue. And so we find Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 41. And we're looking at this thought this morning. Continue in supplication. Continue in our prayer life as we have the wonderful, wonderful blessing of prayer. Acts chapter number 2, verse 41. Then they that gladly received His word were baptized. Here's a group of people that received the word of God, and because they received it, they exercised faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they became believers. After they became believers, they followed the Lord Jesus in His command of baptism. And so they gladly received His word. They became believers. And as believers, they followed the command of Christ and they were baptized. And the same day, there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. In other words, not only were they saved and not only did they become baptized in obedience to Christ, but they were the forming members, if you would. They formed the membership of the church in Jerusalem. They were added unto them. They were added unto the church. And so if you want to be a member of the Tabernacle Baptist Church, there's two requirements you have to fulfill. Number one, you have to be saved. Number two, you must follow the Lord in obedience to Him in believer's baptism. And if you meet those requirements and you believe God has brought you here and you want to serve the Lord and honor the Lord with your life, then you can become a member of this assembly. You say, where did you get that idea? Did somebody write a book and tell you you should do that? Yes, it's in the Bible, Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 41. And so we see this. Now, this is then the church. We need to understand that. This is the church. And the church is a group of baptized believers who voluntarily join themselves together to carry out the work of the Great Commission, the work of Jesus Christ that He has left to us after His resurrection and His ascension. Look in verse 42. This is the church. And they, what's the next word? Continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's in teaching, and that's in the Word of God. That's where we get our doctrine. Our doctrine comes from the Bible. And I'm telling you, there are some religious institutions, organizations, so-called churches that have doctrine that did not come from the Bible. We need to be sure that our doctrine comes from the Bible. And so they continued in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread, that's observing the Lord's Supper, and in prayers. They continued in praying. In Matthew chapter 21, in verse number 12, the Bible said, "And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves." The Lord Jesus goes into Jerusalem, and when He gets into Jerusalem, He finds there in the temple and around the temple are a group of people who are there under pretense that they are to help people worship God, or that they themselves want to worship God. But the truth of the matter is, they have no heart for God. They have no desire to worship God. They're only there to benefit themselves through selling merchandise. By the way, I believe this. I believe there are people in churches who have no heart for worshiping God. They're only there to benefit themselves. And the Lord Jesus drove them out, and He said this. He said, "My house shall be called the house of prayer." Prayer ought to be something. By the way, what is the house of God today? The house of God is His people. The Bible tells us that we are lively stones. We have been formed together by the work of God and the Holy Spirit to become the habitation of God. This building is not the church. The people are the church. And we are to be people who are characterized by a life of prayer. A life of prayer. Luke chapter 11. The disciples watching the Lord Jesus pray said to Him in Luke chapter 11 and verse number 1, "Lord, teach us to pray." Teach us to pray. We understand that we are to be praying people, but we need the Lord to help us and aid us in our prayer life. Our flesh doesn't like to pray. You remember when Jesus said to the disciples, "Let's come and pray." They were going to Gethsemane. The Lord was about to go to the cross. And He said to the disciples, "Watch and pray. Let's go in to the garden. Let's enter into the presence of the Lord. Let's pray here." And the Bible said that they fell asleep. They fell asleep. We find that the Bible tells us that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know, our flesh resists the work of prayer. It's easier for you to listen to preaching, and it's easier for me to preach than it is to pray. Our flesh resists prayer on so many levels. And the greatest sin of our prayerlessness is this. It is pride. The fact that we think that we can handle things on our own. The fact that we think that we know what we ought to do. We don't need to seek God's counsel. We don't need to acknowledge Him in all of our ways. We don't need to depend upon Him for blessing. We do not need to depend on Him for wisdom and guidance. But we know what to do, so we're going to go ahead and do it ourselves. And so many days we spend in prayerlessness because of the pride of our own hearts. And may God help us to understand that we are His children, and we are to look to Him, we are to honor Him, and we are to continue in supplication. I want to give you some things this morning, and we'll see if we can get through them. If not, we'll just finish it next week. But I want to give you seven things here about prayer, and I hope you'll write them down. As we consider this subject, continue in supplication, I would like for you, number one, to consider the privilege of prayer. Consider the privilege of prayer. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 11, in verse number 9, if you'd like to turn there, Luke chapter number 11 and verse number 9. The Lord Jesus here speaking to His disciples in the same context that I mentioned to you a moment ago, where the disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And so the Lord begins to teach them prayer. He gives to them the model prayer in Luke chapter 11 and verse 2. "When ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And He said unto them in verse 5, "Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth." In other words, the man says to his friend, I need you to rise up out of bed and give me some bread. I have a visitor and I have nothing to feed him with. And the man says, "Look, it's too late. I'm in the bed. Everything's put up. Don't bother me now." And the Bible says, though the man won't rise up because of his relationship or his friendship with him, because of the man's persistence, his importunity, the fact that he keeps asking, the fact that he keeps knocking, the fact that he won't go away, eventually he's going to wear that man within the house down. And he's going to get up and he's going to provide the bread. Now, God doesn't run out of patience with us, and God is not ever asleep and unwilling to help us when we need Him. But the Lord is teaching His disciples here a wonderful principle that we, as God's people, are to be persistent in our prayer life. And look at verse number 9 when He says, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." Now, I want you to understand again who is speaking here. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the Son of God. This is the one who spoke the universe into existence and created you and I, forming us from the dust of the ground, breathing into our nostrils the breath of life. He is God. And God is saying to you and I today, ask, seek, and knock. I want to tell you that God has given you and I a wonderful privilege. He has given you and I a hotline to heaven, and all we have to do is come to Him. May I say to you, that's a privilege. May I say to you, that is an honor, that is a blessing, that is a glorious privilege that you and I can call on the Lord anytime, in any situation, that we have direct and instant access into the presence of God by the blood of Jesus. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews chapter number 10 that we come into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. That means I, as a saved sinner, by the way, I'm a wicked sinner, but I've been saved and redeemed and washed in the blood of Jesus. And God doesn't see me in my account and, oh, Scott Hooks and his dirty, wicked sin and his lazy, prideful, arrogant ways and the ways of his flesh. God doesn't look at me like that. When he sees me in the record of the righteous Son of God. He said, that's one of my children, and he has a need. And I want you to know he has direct access to me at any moment, any place, any time. He can call on me, and so can you. Can I tell you, that is a privilege. You and I get to pray. Imagine if you and I sought to contact the governor of the state of North Carolina. I imagine we'd have to go through some channels. Recently, we were seeking permission to see our state representative our congressman in Washington, and a group of pastors there. And we had to send an email and then wait on a response. And a few days later, we got a response from one of his representatives. And then they said, well, here are the times. When can you meet? And so we said, okay, we'll meet with the congressman at this time. And then the folks had to travel up there. I didn't make it this trip, but they were to travel up there to D.C. and go through all of that process, the expense and the travel and the time and the effort. And then finally they could have about 5 or 10 minutes with the congressman. I want you to know I'm dealing with somebody higher than the congressman, higher than the president. I'm dealing with a God of the universe, and I can come into his presence at any time. I don't have to call his secretary. I can enter in to the throne of grace through the blood of Jesus at any moment. I want to tell you, you and I have a wonderful privilege to pray. And when we pray, as the Lord said in Luke chapter 11 and verse number 2, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven. May I say this to you, that I'm praying to my Father in heaven. Jesus said, you men of the earth, in Matthew chapter 7, if your son asks for bread or a fish, you're not going to give him a stone or a serpent. You're not going to be unkind. You, because you love your son, are going to give him the things that he requests. But here we have a heavenly Father who loves us so much infinitely more than we can even understand. Though we love our children, our earthly children, God loves us in such such a wonderful, great way. And when we come to Him through the blood of Jesus into His presence at any moment, I want you to know who we're talking to. We're talking to our Father. And let me say this to you. As we understand the fact that He is our Father, we think of His love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want to tell you that God loves you. And as a loving Father, He's not going to harm you. Then as we think of the Father, we think of not only the love of the Father, but think of the wisdom of the Father. The wisdom of the Father. There used to be a program on years ago. I never saw it. I heard about it. So don't give me a hard time. I'm not that old. Father knows best. And listen, I want to tell you something. Your Heavenly Father knows best. He knows what you need. And He has, not only does He love you and want what's best for you, but He is wise. He is wise and knowing what's best for you. He knows how to answer and when to answer, the wisdom of the Father. Then think of the power of the Father. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we may ask or think. God can do anything. God can give you what you need. Prayer can do what God can do, and God can do anything. Consider the privilege of prayer. Consider the privilege that is ours. They tell the story about the man who was taking a trip across the Atlantic, and he saved his money to buy the ticket. And for his meals, he had packed crackers and all the things that you might snack on. He maybe took a jar of peanut butter or something like that. But he had a whole suitcase full of snack items, because he said, I can't afford to go into the dining room, and I can't afford to eat that type of food. I'm just going to get by on these meager provisions, and I'm rubbing all my dimes together so I can do that. And as he got toward the end of the voyage, one of the people, the ship's crew, said to him, sir, why are you eating that? And he said, well, because this is what I brought to eat. I cannot afford to go into the banquet hall and eat with the rest of the passengers. And the crewman said to him, sir, I want you to understand that all of your meals are included in the price of the ticket. You see, this man had been getting by on so little when he could have enjoyed so much. And he had access, he had privilege to go in to the banquet hall. And I want you to know, when you and I get to heaven, we may try to carry our pack of crackers with us, but God's going to show us all that He had for us that we never accessed. I want to tell you, it is a privilege to come unto the Lord in prayer. Consider, number one, the privilege of prayer. Consider, number two, the promises of prayer. The promises of prayer. I want you to look with me, if you would, please. The Gospel according to John. The Gospel according to John and the 15th chapter. And the Lord Jesus here is speaking to His disciples about the nature of their relationship with Him after He has gone to the cross, or after He will go to the cross and suffer and die. Rise again and then ascend into the heavens. And He's speaking to them about the nature of their relationship and the fact that they are, in verse number 4, John chapter 15, to abide in Him. He said, abide in Me and I in you. In other words, those disciples, in the same way they dwelt with Christ in His earthly life, are to continue to dwell with Him once He has ascended up into the heavens. But how are they to do that? They are to do that by staying in the Word of God and staying in the spirit of prayer and fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And so He says, abide in Me and I in you. Then look, please, if you would, in verse number 7. If ye abide in Me and My words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. That's a wonderful promise, isn't it? The Lord said, if I abide in Him, if I stay in His presence, and his words abide in me, then I'm going to ask what I will. Now, here's the big difference. James said, some of you, as he wrote to them, he said, you ask and you have not because you ask amiss. Do you know that we can miss the will of God in our requests? We can ask for things that are outside the will of God. And the reason we do that is because we are not meeting this condition that the Lord gave us in John chapter 15. And that is that we abide in Him. You see, as we spend time with Him and as His Word is in us, then we are going to begin to have a transformation. We're going to change. You know, people over the years, they change, don't they? Their likes and their preferences, their taste buds, all kinds of things change about people as they grow older. I believe husbands and wives who spend a lot of time together, they change over the years. You know, you're going to be shocked when you hear this. You're going to be totally blown away. But I had a little bit of a temper when I got married. I know you can't believe that now. I had a little bit of a temper when I got married, and my wife was sweet as sugar. I'm telling you, sweet and just sugary, syrupy. I'm telling you, it was just unbelievable. Just sweet as the day is long. And do you know what's happened over the years? I've got sweeter, and she's got meaner, let me tell you. I spent time with her, and it's changed me for the better. She spent time with me, and well, I won't go any further. But anyway, the Lord said, you abide with me, you're going to ask what you will. The difference is you're not going to ask what you will, you're going to ask what I will. Because as you abide with me, you're going to want what I want. And God has a way, while we abide with Him, of pruning us so the things that we want that are outside of His will sort of are cut away. They don't mean as much to us as they once did. And the Lord said, I want you to know this is a promise. If you abide in me, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. God says, I'm going to hear you. I'm going to answer you. You are going to be blessed. John chapter 15, same chapter, verse 16. Jesus said, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. The Lord says, this is my will. This is my will that you pray and that you receive the answer to your prayers. Now, there's some things we need to understand about that. Sometimes God doesn't answer on our time schedule. Sometimes God doesn't answer the way we maybe necessarily think that He will answer us. In fact, sometimes He does things totally opposite of the way in which we think they should be done or that we anticipate they will be done. But here's the one thing we can have confidence in, the goodness and the promises of God, and understand that God will do what He said. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 14. The Bible says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Oh, listen, if we pray in the will of God, then here's what we know, that God hears us. He hears us. You ever pray and feel like your prayers didn't get past the ceiling? Listen, if you're asking in the will of God, you can have confidence in knowing that God hears you. Even when you don't feel like He hears you, He hears you. This is the promise of prayer. And so we need to consider that as we think about continuing in prayer. We need to consider, number one, the privilege of prayer. We need to consider, number two, the promises of prayer. Then we need to consider, number three, the potential of prayer. The potential. What can God do? God can do anything. Do you believe that this morning? God can do anything. Can God heal? He can heal. Can God bind up the brokenhearted? Can God repair that which is broken? Can God restore the years that the locusts have eaten? Can God save a lost soul? Can God meet your needs physically? Temporal needs? Can God meet your spiritual needs? The Bible said, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we may ask or think." I want you to imagine all the things that you think God can do. The Bible said he's able to do far above that. The potential of prayer. The potential to see lives changed. The potential for revival. The potential for blessing. The potential for God's power, God's anointing. The potential for people to be saved and come to know Jesus. The potential of what God could do in our homecoming and our anniversary celebration. The potential of what God could do in our Christian school. The potential of what God could do in our Conquer Club. The potential of what God can do in our Vacation Bible School this summer. The potential of what God can do in your Sunday school class. The potential of what God can do in this church if we'll simply call upon Him, if we'll take advantage of the privilege, if we'll claim the promise, if we'll go into the presence of God and trust God, we can see God do above all that we may ask or think. The potential. Prayer can do what God can do. And God can do anything. Do you think God is in the heavens thinking, "Well, you know, it's the last days. Perilous times are there. And I'm coming soon, but I just really can't do much. Because, you know, it's the last days." Do you think God's that way? Do you think God's any less able today than He was in any day in human history? Is He? Then what's the problem? If He's just as able today as He's always been, what's the problem? Can I tell you what the problem is? It's the people of God who won't call on the name of God. It's the fact that you and I, if we truly believed it, now we say we believe it. But there's a difference in saying we believe it and being theologically correct and believing it in our heart. Because if we believe it in our heart, hey, we're going to do it. And we're going to trust God. And we'll see God do great things. Don't you think God would delight in blessing His people? Don't you think God, who is looking for a place, a group of people that He can pour out His blessing on. You remember in the days of Elijah? And Elijah, he said, "Look, all you prophets of Baal, call on your God. Let's see what happens." And they tried and they tried and they tried, but nothing happened. And then the prophet said, "Look, all right, now it's my turn. But before we do that, let's pour water all over this thing. Let's dig a trench in here. Let's fill that thing up with water. And then let's see if God will answer us." Don't you believe that God delighted in blessing and moving and pouring out His presence and manifesting Himself in a wonderful way? And don't you believe that God wants to manifest Himself today, and God wants to be known in your life, through your life, to a generation of people who don't know Him? Don't you believe that God desires that today? The potential is there if we pray. If we pray.